Hey folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
And it's the Tornado Tony Pemmico.
And Psychic Tom Padgett. Deck of tarot cards ready to make predictions.
Alright. Well, for some reason Sure Dog is taking forever to load tonight, so we're going to start with boxing. Last week we had a bunch of fights on Saturday, the 26th. No huge names, but maybe names that people recognize. David Lemieux versus Kareem Akor was the big fight. Biggest name, I think. He won. I don't have the full results right in front of me. Let's see what it was by. But also, probably going to butcher this one. Tugs Tasog.
Oh, yeah.
Nayim Bayar. Beat up Oscar Escandon. Lourdes Juarez beat Jackie Calvo. Khalid Yafai beat David Carmona. And Jerwin Ansajas beat Jonas Sultan. Also, Arginis Mendez took a loss to a guy named Eddie Ramirez. So I think that was an upset. Nothing too big on Friday night. And then we only have two big fights.
Last week, you know?
What happened, Tony?
There wasn't a whole lot on last week. I mean, you had some, but you know, nothing earth-shattering.
They're saving it all up for the 9th. June 9th,
yeah,
is going to be the blockbuster week. This week, we only have, BoxRec only lists two fights on Saturday on their main page. It's crazy. Kevin Larina versus Roman Golovshenko and Robin Krasniqi versus Stanislav Kashtanov. And then next week, you got Mares versus Santa Cruz again. Jeff Horn versus Terrence Crawford. All kinds of stuff. Jamal. Wrong name. That's his brother. Facing Austin Trout there.
That'll be interesting.
Yes, sir. All right, so actually, it's funny. BoxRec only has a couple fights on their main page. One of them is from Azerbaijan. That's how friggin' little fights are going on this weekend. Kevin Larina, 20-1, fighting Roman Golovshenko, who is 19-1 for the IBO World Cruiserweight title. And co-main event is Ibrahim Sorov, who is 5-1, facing Malik Mamadzadeh. It's 12-1. That one's for the World Boxing Council Asian Boxing Council light heavyweight title. The WBC ABC light heavyweight title. That's nuts. Never heard of that one. That's a new one. For sure.
I guess that's another category of that we have to go over each week. The most bizarre title.
Right.
Along with Someone's Always Gotta Go, The Worst Record, The Jesus. Gotta make a note of these.
Sure. Damn. What about mismatch? But this is like the loser's match of the week. There's a guy, Konstantin Alexandrov, fighting in Bulgaria this weekend. He's 6-32-3. He's fighting a guy, Svetlin Vladov, who's 0-4. Nuts.
Fight of the week, huh?
Yeah. Wow.
Someone's got to win. Or I know they don't. We can get a draw.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. They don't have to win. They don't make somebody win.
Right.
That's right. If they don't want to win, they have to win.
Up in Ontario, Canada, we've got welterweight Samuel Vargas and Mauro Maximiliano Godoy. Vargas is 29-3-1. Godoy is 30-3. That's for the WBA, NABA welterweight title. Nothing too crazy on the rest of the card there. Some Since we have so few fights, this one might be our mismatch of the week. Thomas Foray fighting in France this weekend. He's 13-3, fighting Tommy Spahija, who's 5-10-2. In the main event. And go figure, the co-main event is two undefeated guys. Benoit Demick, 8-0, and Francois Pichereau, who is 5-0 with one draw.
Got to admit, European boxing has some strange things. We don't hear quite as much in the States. That is wild.
And over in Bayern, Germany, is where the Krasniqi fight's going on. Robin Krasniqi, 47-5, fighting Stanislav Kostyanov, who is 36-2. That's for the vacant EBU European super middleweight title. Now, if ever there was a fight that should be for a world title, it should be between guys with records like that. But somehow they're only fighting for the EBU title. Nuts. And then Roman Shkarupa is in the co-main event. He's 28-7-2, fighting Emre Kukor, who is 10-0. And that one's for the vacant EBU external super middleweight title. External? What the hell does that mean?
That's kind of in the you can't make that up category. Wow.
That's another first. Oh, here's somebody's always got to go fight. Another one from Germany. Main event. Artur Mann, he's 13-0, fighting Alexander Peel, who is 10-0 for the WBO International Cruiserweight title. Stuff. Let's see what else we got. Oh, I think we got a new mismatch of the week from Hungary. Gian Carlos Prada. He is 36-6-1. Well, this isn't really a mismatch because the other guy's 6-0. I thought it was 0-6. Ballas Boxsky. That's the guy's name. It's super welterweight. Main event over in Varpalota, Hungary. Maybe that's not the mismatch. Here's another one that should be... Oh, it is for a world title. They finally got it right. Emmanuel Navarrete, 24-1, fighting Jose San Martin, who's 26-4-1. Ever at 24-1 for the Interim World Boxing Association World Super Bantamweight title. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I don't know how they didn't have this one on the front page. From Poland, Krzysztof Włodarczyk, 54-4-1 is his record. Fighting Olen Ruwaju Duradola, who is 27-5. I got no easy names for me this week. Can I get a John Fitch? Someone. All right, so this one could be the mismatch of the week for sure. From Spain. Main event again, super lightweights. Sandor Martin, he has 30 wins, 2 losses is his record. Fighting Gallus Coulon, who is 9-9-1. He's all tied. 500 record and the one draw. A lot of mismatches in the main events this week. Okay, here's some English names from the UK. Main events, light heavyweights. Kirk Garvey, 11-1. Fighting Joel McIntyre, who is 17-2. For the vacant BBB of C Southern Area light heavyweight title. And we got another epic loser on this card, of course, because it's the UK. William Warburton is going to help a guy stay undefeated because his record coming in is 26-133-10.
Wow.
Fighting George Lamport, who is 3-0.
Definitely a discrepancy in experience.
He's actually got he's got 2 wins in his last 6 fights, too. So.
Wow. I don't know. He does have a chance. Yep, just get him psyched out, or you can do it, Dive. Put all these losses together, and go. Remember what you've learned.
How to fall.
Yeah.
And from Atlantic City, there's going to be one televised United States card. It's going to be, hey, Real Deal Sports and Entertainment picked a good week. They got no competition this week. Never mind competition across town. They got no competition in the States this time. This one's going to be on CBS Sports Network. Main event is our former guest from back when he was a prospect, Toka Khan Clary. 24-1 fighting Emmanuel Dominguez, who's 22-6-2. That one's for the WBA NABA featherweight title. So I think we probably told him, don't forget us when you're champion. So I'll have to try to connect with him again. Also, co-main event are bantamweights Rayonta Whitfield, 28-2, and Antonio Nieves, who is 17-2-2. And I think this guy's from Philly, Anthony Young? Or is that a different Young?
I don't recognize that name.
Anthony Young. He's 18-2 fighting Enver Halili, who's 10-1. Let me just check where he's from. Nope, he's from Atlantic City. Close enough. So that's Saturday's. That's the last one on the list. And last weekend, we had, speaking of the UK, we mentioned a little while ago, we had Bellator fights and UFC fights in the UK. For some reason, I can't get any of these pages to load. But I did remember enough of the main event from the UFC fight. It was Steven Wonderboy Thompson versus Till. Was it the last name? What's the first name?
Darren.
Darren Till.
Darren, I can't make weight. Till.
Yes.
Darren, I love my home cooking. That's why I didn't make
yes,
weight.
Exactly.
I love the home cooking here.
That's perfect description.
I got a lot on that one. I'll let you announce the distasteful results.
So, Wonderboy did what Wonderboy does. He kept his distance. He picked his shots. I thought he landed more shots. But you could make the argument that Till landed the harder shots, but he just didn't do enough until the final round. And, you know, to get a score like that, you really, I mean, it's like, some people were saying, well, it's kind of like taking the belt from the champion. You really got to take it to the hometown guy if you're going to beat him. But I mean, this was a total points decision. Should have gone to Thompson, and it went to Till. And obviously, he was a little busted up, hurt, but not too bad. And it really wasn't.
It really wasn't
a fight as much as it was a fucking dance contest.
yeah, that's true. Thompson could have done more, especially going into that last round. I mean, just to seal the deal. Of course, I don't know. It wouldn't have mattered on the judges' scorecard. And it makes you wonder, first off, why American guys, you know, this is going to affect this Deontay Wilder-Joshua fight, too, because, you know, the Brits are saying it has to be over here in England. And we'll be thinking about that. But it's a much bigger issue arises on this, about this missing weight.
Right.
This seems, because so far, how many people, now I don't know about, but I think maybe boxing's still a little stricter on that.
It's almost becoming a once-a-week thing, literally.
Right. And now, here's my point. Who has, because it's almost, you have to admit, it's an unfair advantage because the people that come in heavy are winning the fight, and it's not costing them anything. How about taking 90% of their purse?
Well, it was funny because Till said that he didn't care how much of his purse they took. They could take it all if they wanted to, because it was just about the opportunity to get the title shot for him.
So what? What he said doesn't matter. What he said is what happened.
Right.
Doesn't matter. There's my point being, there is no consequence for coming in a lot heavier. There's none. What, 20% of your purse?
30.
What an odd name for a
30 is what he gave up, and then he did have to weigh in the next day at a certain weight to prove that he hadn't put on so many pounds.
Oh, boy, what draconian punishments here. Yeah, they're really getting strict. You know, again, I hate to sound like an old school guy, an old man, the old man that I am, but I mean, I just don't remember this being an epidemic when I was younger.
Right.
I mean, damn it, you agree to a certain weight, you come in at that weight. It's just not done anymore. And I think maybe it's just the fact that guys are looking around saying, yeah, I'll come in heavy, so what? You know, maybe Thompson should have said, I'm not going to fight. Because you do have the option to refuse to fight. Maybe that should have happened.
Right. Well, he gets his third loss to go with one draw and 14 wins. And I wish Sherdog would actually show the scores. I don't have them offhand, but... Hey,
two judges were 49 to 46. For Darren Till.
Wow.
49 to 46. And then Wonder Boy, I think, was up on the third judge's card, 48 to 47.
No, because it was a unanimous decision, according to Sherdog.
I was pretty sure Thompson won. Thompson had one judge going foremost, I thought.
I think it was just... It was like 49-48 on one card, and then 49-46 on the other two. I think it was just closer on that third card.
Okay, well, perhaps, but I mean, it was, so I guess that's where it's going to go. I mean, you go to England, I mean, your opponent's not going to make weight, and you're going to lose a decision, so there you go. And there's no consequence. And it's not just England. I don't mean to be singling them out. That's got a nasty taste in my mouth, but we're seeing that. We're seeing it in Brazil, Mackenzie Dern. We're seeing it here. It's just like you said, it's become a weekly occurrence. At least boxing seems to not be experiencing that much of an explosion in this whole thing.
Right.
But it just comes down to this. Until there's consequences, these guys are going to cheat, and they're going to get away with it, and they get the W. It's only going to cost them a fifth of what they're going to make, and then they're going to move up in ranking and get a better fight. What's better for them? Who cares if you hurt your opponent? Who cares if you cheat? Doesn't matter. There's no consequence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make a big deal about fighter safety. Well, what is it? Why are the guys coming in so much heavier? That's why we have weight divisions.
Yeah,
and
somebody this week claimed that, you know, coming in that much overweight is cheating, basically.
Yeah.
And you already have the advantage of being in your home country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the whole thing is, well, we can't use growth hormone, steroids, or testosterone because that's horrible. And it's going to hurt someone. But then when someone comes in much heavier, well, that's okay. Let them fight. Let them go really hurt someone. Let them fight. Who cares? I don't see the, I'm not seeing consequences about it. So I think it's just going to get worse and worse and worse until they finally just start saying, you're giving up everything, and you fight for free. Something draconian. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm throwing stuff out there, but to come up with something to make sure that this is just not done, I mean, it's becoming a disgrace.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about it is that, you know, these guys have how many weeks to train for these fights usually? You know, 6 to 8 weeks they put
Here's
in their training camp?
Look, we got someone on this call that could do it in 3 days. Okay?
Tony's been multiple weight classes.
I mean, if you take a fight on short notice and you sign the contract, then you better get the weight off. I'm not saying it's easy.
Right.
But why would you, no matter what, and if you've got a full camp and you still come in, you know, 5-10 pounds heavy? Wow.
And you're trying to get a title shot, too?
Well, yeah, and come in heavy, win the fight, because you have that weight advantage, and then you just move up the ranks, you know? It's just crazy.
Right. Well, yeah, that fight was about, unfortunately, most of the actual five rounds, these guys were literally staying out of each other's range, just moving away from each other. And Darren Till really couldn't get any rhythm that would have given him that kind of a decision legitimately. And, you know, that's part of Steven's style, but it's also just a matter of fighting a lot of five-round fights. You know, he's trying to preserve his career, basically, by not being so active. And, you know, sometimes it helps him, sometimes it hurts him. If it was on American soil, it probably would have helped him. But obviously, when you're in someone else's country and, you know, every punch that the guy lands from that country that's going to result in the crowd going nuts, your judges are going to get swayed. So, I mean, there's a little bit of fault on his part. He could have knocked the guy out. He could have tried more.
I don't think either guy had a big career boost from this.
No.
I mean, Till's a cheater, and Wonderboy could have been more active with it. I mean, he was just a little too passive, and it was kind of like one of those old Taekwondo point tournaments.
It was like four rounds of dancing and one round of fighting.
Yeah.
Spread all over the five rounds, that one round. But.
Yeah, so you got to blame both guys. I'm not saying Wonderboy's blameless in this, but like I said, I just don't think it helped either one of them.
Yeah.
And it set a nice precedent. Again, Till gets the W. We got home cooking. We don't have to worry about the scales. He could have come in 10 pounds too heavy, right, and the fight would have went on.
And then we had Neil Magny making quick work of Craig White. Took him out with some knees and punches, one knee, and then follow-up punches, with just 28 seconds left in round one.
That was a good performance. He's such a workmanlike guy. You know, he's overlooked a lot, but like I like to say, he ain't no give me fight. Not a cheap date.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. He can choke you, and he can take you out on the feet. So.
Yes.
Mad skills. Another fight on the card. Arnold Allen beat Mads Burnell by guillotine chokes. Speaking of chokes, that was in the third round, 2 minutes and 41 seconds in.
What a comeback. What a comeback that was.
Yeah. That was a good one. I like the one on Bellator that we're going to talk about in a minute a little better, but that guy was a reality star, so he kind of had to step up. But Makhwan Amirakani also got a win over Jason Knight. It was a split decision. I really didn't watch a lot of that fight. I think I tuned in at the end of the Magny fight. or I was just watching out of the corner of my
eye. Jason Knight should be Jason Bite after his last fight.
Yeah.
Remember, he did a little cannibalism after that last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was close. I mean, I can't say that was just home cooking. That could have went either way.
And we had Claudio Henrique da Silva beating Nordane Taleb by rear naked choke. Again, just under 30 seconds left in the round, first round.
Did you hear what happened the aftermath of that?
No.
Okay, there was a scene in a local bar where confronted the guy in the bar, the winner, and I guess he was saying, well, you never beat me, I could beat you 9 times out of 10, this was a fluke, and really caused a big scene. They about had a rematch right there in the bar. You know, you kind of wonder about that.
Yeah. Especially with the... they're obviously different nationalities, too. You'd think they'd have a language barrier.
Yeah, that was... everyone in the other team was kind of surprised about that. I mean, it's just so unusual. I mean, this is a sport. It's a business, you know? It's not a street fight.
Darren Stewart got a TKO over Eric Spicely, 1 minute and 47 seconds into the second. Tom Breeze beat Daniel Kelly, also by TKO, in the first round, and threes are wild, 3 minutes and 33 seconds in. And we had Lena Landsberg beating Gina Mazzani by unanimous decision. Carlo Petersoli Jr. beat Bradley Scott, also by decision split this time. And then we had a technical submission, whatever that is, rear naked choke, Jillian Robertson beating Molly McCann. And interestingly enough, Molly McCann is actually related to Katie Taylor, the boxer there. gold medalist. But anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. That one was in the second round, that choke, 205 in, and then the first fight of the night, Elias Theodoro beating Trevor Smith by unanimous decision. And then we had the big Bellator 200. And I'll tell you, talk about false advertising. I think I ought to sue my cable company. All day long, on the TV listings, they had the 8 o'clock fight card starting, and they had live next to it. But I went on ESPN looking for Red Sox stuff, and right on the front page is Gegard Mousasi knocks out Rafael Carvalho.
Oh, spoiler alert.
And there was no spoiler alert, nothing. It was there. And I'm like, all right, so obviously this is not live because it's not happening at 3 in the morning over there. But, yeah, I was just kind of like, how do they get away with that? You know, they obviously should know that it's in London and it's going to be on tape delay. And they ought to know that like a few weeks before that they're going to broadcast it, so.
Okay, and shame on you, sir, for believing your cable company.
Right.
Okay, let this be a lesson. Never get anywhere near any internet if you want the live action, because it's not live.
Right.
If you want the suspense.
Anyway, Gegard Mousasi got the big win. He improves to 44-6 with two draws. Carvalho lost actually by TKO. It was 3 minutes and 35 seconds in to the first round. Again, another under 30 seconds left in the round win. Carvalho,
yeah,
falls
Mousasi looked great. I mean, he's really put it together. Great,
yeah.
Performance.
Unbelievable. And of course, Tom, we predicted this one last week dead on. Michael Page pretty much destroyed David Rickles. He actually retired, not from MMA, but after 43 seconds of the second round.
Yeah, you don't see that happen too often. The question here, though, is when are they going to... I mean, that was a stylistic nightmare for Rickles.
Yeah.
A stylistic nightmare. And it's not that it was a big shock what happened, but when are they going to step it up for Michael Page?
I don't know. When they hire more UFC fighters.
What?
When they hire more ex-UFC fighters in the weight class, I guess.
Well, the whole thing, Paul Daly has been screaming for that fight for a long time.
Right.
And the question is, are they trying to milk Michael Venom Page and just that they know that there's some defect here? I mean, so far we're not seeing any weakness. I mean, he's like Anderson Silva 2.0. He does things that they're really hard to deal with so far. No one's been able to do it, so why not step it up?
Yeah.
That's the question. Why do they keep setting up things like this? And I think Paul Daly would be the next fight. What do you think?
Well, I think part of it is they're worried that he's going to go to the UFC. So I don't know what kind of contract he has right now, but I don't think he has too many fights left with Bellator. And they're probably not wanting to put him into a position where he's going to lose, and they probably don't have anybody that can beat him. Or come close to beating him. Even Paul Daly, I mean.
Outreached by a mile. Well, I think Paul Daly's a light body in there.
So maybe he refused that fight.
You don't know.
No, I think it would be a good fight, but I just think the reach factor is way in his favor. Daly doesn't throw a lot of kicks in his fights. He's mostly fists and elbows and stuff, so. And sucker punches after the fight.
But
David Rickles was not much of an opponent. Fernando Gonzalez, the guy that went the distance with him, was a better opponent, and he's lesser known. So, go figure. But yeah, he's 13-0. So he's a welterweight, 170 pounds. Not too many people in Bellator that could give him a run for his money. Speaking of welterweights, we lost another one in the UFC. Michael Bisping is finally retired, officially. Throw that in there, in the middle of the Bellator card. he was actually different weight class recently, right? Middleweight? He's a middleweight.
Yeah, he started off at light heavyweight, and then he moved down to middleweight.
But yeah, I get those mixed up because of boxing and MMA, using different terminology, or same terminology, different weights. But anyway, he claimed that he had a situation in his last fight where it caused some flashing in his eyes, and he had already had a detached retina before, and this one was pretty close to that, but not quite. Some weird term for it, and so it doesn't happen when it's light out, but when it's dark, he gets these flashes when he looks a certain way, and so that was the trigger. And then he actually watched a movie on a plane. That's what really made the final decision for him. And I don't know if this was a commercial flight or whatever, but it was about a boxer, I believe, that just has a horrible career-ending situation, I guess. I forget what the name of it was, but I'll have to pull up that article in a few minutes.
Aye, Captain.
So he basically just decided that, you know, he'd taken enough punishment, he'd accomplished enough, and it was a good time to walk away. And obviously, he's got a job for now. We don't know if he's going over to ESPN with the Fox people, but, you know, he's got the Fox job.
Well, we'll find out. You got to give him credit, because he really had no outstanding talent, but he just kept plugging along. Hard work, just completely dedicated. Smart guy, but I think talent-wise, there was really nothing outstanding with him. But he just kept plugging.
Well,
he was
one of those old school guys that would pretty much come at you with 1-2s in the stand-up. Not a lot of hooks, not a lot of uppercuts, not a lot of elbows and kicks. Well, in the latter part of his career, he did kick a lot, but...
And his ground game was, I got to get back on my feet. So,
but my favorite fight of his was the rematch against Dan Henderson. I just was praying for Dan to connect one more right hand, but talk about 1-2s. I mean, that's all friggin' Henderson was throwing that fight, was the haymaker right, and he kept connecting somehow, but this goes to show you. Yeah. Tough guys. They try to hang in, but Henderson hung in a lot longer, but Bisping's been through a lot of fights. Anyway, next fight on the Bellator card, Aaron Chalmers from the popular UK reality show The Geordie Shore, G-E-O-R-D-I-E, like the Jersey Shore, but in a different country. He's a big-time reality star, he's undefeated in MMA, and he looked rough at the beginning of this one against Ash Griffiths, but he ended up getting a guillotine 1 minute and 55 seconds in. And he had all his reality show TV stars, co-hosts, co-stars in the audience jumping up and down for him. So that was one of the reasons why he was fighting in England, his home country there. And they obviously are probably going to have something on the show about it, too. He's actually one of the newer members. I just had to research this. It's not like I watch this shit, but yeah, he was one of the recent additions to the show, and he's stuck in there. I think it was 2016 he started. But it's actually a little different than the Jersey Shore in that they've brought in different people, a lot of different people, and they've been doing it, I think, for 17 seasons. So it's just unreal for a reality show to last that long with the same, mostly the same people. Also, Mike Shipman beat Carl Noon by TKO just 10 seconds into their fight.
That was quick. Very quick.
Kate Jackson got a unanimous decision over Anastasia Yankova. And Phil Davis was thrown in the middle here of this card with Linton Vassell. Knocked him out with a head kick. That was a beautiful fight. Phil just pretty much dominated. Took him to the third round to really explode, but Vassell just walked right into that kick. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Good night.
1 minute and 5 seconds into the third. Jeroe Shepherd got a win over Marcin Zywicka by doctor stoppage after the first round. Walter Gahadza beat Kent Kaupinen by rear naked choke submission. Amir Albazi beat Yuri Behinari by rear naked choke, and Charlie Leary beat Tom Green by TKO with just 2 seconds left in the second round. Fifth fight of the night, Charlie Ward got a win by TKO over Martin Hudson. And it was in the first round, 2 minutes and 23 seconds in. Pedro Carvalho beat Daniel Crawford by split decision. Anatoly Tokov beat Vladimir Filipovich by technical submission, guillotine choke. Costello Van Steenis beat Kevin Fryer by TKO, 1 minute and 20 seconds into that one. And Mike Akindayo beat Tom Means by injuring his arm somehow. They called it a TKO. In the second round, 1 minute and 2 seconds in. So that's the Bellator card. We also had a story over the weekend. Dana White had come out and said, if you don't think the ESPN deal is good for the UFC, you shouldn't cover the UFC. That's his latest thing. I don't know about that. But he actually, in the article, gave an answer that I was asking last week as far as what is going to happen with The Ultimate Fighter. And his answer is, we don't know. Obviously, he's pretty convinced that ESPN is not going to pick it up. And Fox doesn't appear to be clinging to any UFC programming because they're switching to wrestling. I guess they're getting the Monday Night Raw now, I think. Is that what it is, Tony? They're getting something from WWE. What is it, Tony?
What, Monday Night Raw?
I think so. One of the big wrestling things. It's WWE.
You got Monday Night Raw, and then you got SmackDown on Tuesday nights.
It might be SmackDown. It's one or the other. So, they're basically switching allegiances, and the message that... Not the message, but the point of their doing that, supposedly, is because they want to target more family viewership. Makes me think of the Culinary Union's Unfit for Children website. But, yeah, they're basically saying that the situation there is not working. With the UFC, they're not getting enough ratings, so they want to get more family and family-oriented stuff on the network. Ian McCall also retired. I don't know if we talked about that last week. This is the last week stuff or this week's. I don't know. Yeah, that was last week's. Hang on. Chris Cyborg wants to fight Cecilia Brekhus in a boxing match. Another boxing story. But she's got one condition. She's got a catch. Cecilia does. Let's see what she says. I haven't even read this myself yet. Cyborg has 2 fights left on her UFC contract, and she stated on numerous occasions that she intends on transitioning to boxing and wants to face Brekhus. She made those intentions clear when she attended the fight 18 days ago. Brekhus' last fight, I guess they're talking about. Cyborg obviously never competed in boxing. Amateur or professional, but she told Yahoo Sports that she would need 4 to 6 months of boxing training to be ready for Brekhus. Which is, I think, more than Conor McGregor took. But the undisputed welterweight champion, Brekhus, has faced the best female fighters in the world. She said she would entertain a fight with Cyborg with a catch. She says, I've always fought the best girls in women's boxing. I really don't have anything to prove. If Chris could get some experience... And if she can box, and if people want to see it, then sure, why not? I think there's a lot of things that come into question, though. So she's actually one of the believers in the fact that the popularity of women fighting in the UFC has actually helped women's boxing. That's a different camp than I'm used to talking about, because we keep seeing boxers coming over to MMA, female boxers in particular. Not always successfully, but, you know, it's happening a lot more than it usually did in the past. She says, the UFC has been very good in promoting their female fighters, and that's what's been lacking with the other American promoters in boxing. They haven't had the will to back up the female fighters the way they do in the UFC. Promoters and television networks have to bring the same thing to the table because the talent is there. So she just contradicted herself. Unless she's just talking about women fighting in boxing in the in Europe. Because that's there's still a lot of main events with women fighters in boxing in Europe, but not so much in the United States. All right. What else we got here? Oh, cannot forget the old Jack Johnson, pardoned, finally. He's no longer rolling over in his grave. Donald Trump, believe it or not, the most racist president in the world, if you listen to CNN, gave Jack Johnson a pardon. Unreal.
Yeah, he only did that.
To deflect racism.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Well, he can't win, you know. He just can't win.
He's the first black heavyweight boxing champion. Obviously, he's very controversial back then. You know, they called one of his opponents, at least, the Great White Hope. That's where that originated, I believe. And, you know, they've used it time and time again. Yeah.
Jim Jeffries, a man who had to lose, what, about 150 pounds? I guess he was way over 3 bills after he retired.
Really? I didn't know.
Yeah, he had to take off a lot of weight. He was kind of talked into coming back. I mean, it wasn't really his idea, and it was not a good plan. Not a good plan at all, but, yeah, Jack Johnson was ahead of his time, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's actually, Jack Johnson was one of Muhammad Ali's idols, and it's actually, there's a documentary where it talks about Johnson, and he basically copied everything that Jack Johnson did, except he was more vocal. You know, he was just as controversial in some areas, and you know, just as outspoken, but there wasn't as much racism in Ali's era as there was in Johnson's. It wasn't a lot less either, but, you know, it was just different times. So, congratulations to Jack Johnson's family. And believe it or not, this is the one thing that got John McCain to give Trump a compliment for once. Because he's been working on it for years, trying to get this pardon. Trump did it. He actually took the time to even put out a press release thanking the president for doing it. So,
well, you know, you wonder why other presidents hadn't done it. I mean, it's not a difficult thing. I mean, a posthumous pardon, that's you have to sign something, right? I mean, you wonder why it hadn't happened before.
Yeah. All right, last story before we call it a night. Unless you guys have anything you want to add at the end. This is a great story about Memorial Day weekend and community policing. I think Tony knows about this because he probably saw it on my website or on my Facebook page, but I shared this video of a Texas police officer. He's got the nickname Blade from Wesley Snipes movies and the Marvel comics Vampire Hunter character. So he goes for a noise complaint to this apartment complex where they're having a Memorial Day picnic, cookout, and they're boxing out there. They've got gloves and everything. So one of the teenagers challenges them to a boxing match. He's got his guns and his taser on and everything and all his equipment and straps on the gloves because he actually does have boxing experience. And he schools the kid. And they
how
actually...
How did he crouch? He knew how to fight out of a crouch.
Oh,
he?
Yeah. That was my favorite part of it because he looked like Rocky Marciano.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly what I thought. Exactly what I thought.
And he did a great job. He connected with some really good punches. The other guy was trying to crouch with him, but he was too tall. He was too tall to have any good form. He had halfway decent defense, but he didn't really land a lot. And the community really got a boost out of it because, you know, he's already well-respected there, but sometimes he has to come there and arrest people. So, yeah, he's got to have some more respect. Yeah, they stopped it too, which was very responsible of the kids to stop it right when his radio almost fell off. And it kind of reminded me of the situation where I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, where a cop was at a wrestling match and shot a hole in the floor of the gym by accident as his gun went off. And I was like, oh, geez, this could have been another one of those situations. And they actually just came through the Google alerts that they just charged that guy with a misdemeanor for that, the cop. So how about that? This guy managed to hang on to his gun and not fire it off by accident. Obviously, he made sure the safety was on. But, I mean, that's some trust. If you're a cop with all that stuff on and, you know, you go out there and you start boxing somebody and you're not scared to have somebody pull your gun out and run off with it.
Yeah, that's what that's I was thinking trust. When I was watching it. Yeah, he was pretty confident. Looked like a rough neighborhood.
Yeah, Mesquite police. And it was kind of surprising that, you know, it was such positive coverage. You'd think somebody would say, oh, a cop shouldn't be doing that. What if he gets hurt on the job, you know? But I mean, it's because it was such a quick match, I guess nobody cared. But it was good. People cared enough to watch it over 1 million times. It's gone viral. All right, so I think that's about it. Guys, anything else?
I guess it's down to 8%. Get to the charger.
Oh, your phone? All right, buddy. Thanks a lot for all the insight and analysis. Next week, we'll be back again talking about all the fights on the 9th. You're going to have a cheat sheet next week,
bye,
Tony.
Guys.
There's going to be a lot of boxing to talk about.
I look forward to it.
All right. Hope you guys had a good Memorial Day, too. Adios.